ourselves. But we never see that the others need him. But we stay selfish with what he's given us. We stay in a place where it's comfortable, it's nice, and okay, maybe not in here, it's hot. But it was real cold earlier. Y'all showed up. Hell broke loose. Right? Hell broke loose, right? Y'all showed up. Y'all saints of God. Y'all went the opposite way. Y'all started thinking, well, I'm not bad. No, you're good. That's why hell broke loose. They're scared of you. Selfishness. Selfies. Keeping focus on us. Pastor, what are you talking about selfies for? How many of you have selfies on your phone right now? Be honest. Y'all are in church. Half of y'all are lying already. Oh, watch this. The other one. Oh, my phone don't take pictures like that. Right, the iTunes phone. They didn't ever work. The selfies, it's been a big thing for quite some time. And now that we have the phones that went from being real big to being small to coming big again, I wonder, whatever happened to real cameras? Because everything has to be on the phone, because everything on our phone is everything we need. Everything on your phone is everything you need, right? Yeah. Yeah, Facebook, you need that one. Well, I don't know. But what is it, Angry Birds? What is that one? That's still not in. That's not no more. Twitter. Oh, tweeters are the speakers. Went way back to it. What else? What else we have on our phone? What's that? Snapchat. What's another one? Come on, what's another one? Instagram. Instantgram. Snapchat. What's another one? Come on. We got Twitter. We got what? Kick. Candy Crush. Hey. That's one of those things that challenges your mind to keep you alert and keep you focused. But I talk to you about Candy Crush, because Candy Crush make you mad quick. Boy, you don't lose your salvation fast. And then what you do is you start sending out help. And I need someone to send me some more moves or some lives. Candy Crush. What's another one? Pet rescue. Lord, we all need some rescuing. What was the Bible? Okay, we need that one. Bible. What else? Grocery pal. Lord. Grocery pal. What else? Come on. Amazon. Oh, what about this one? Pandora. Oh, we need our music, right? We need our music. Spotify. What was another one? We need the YouTube, iHeartRadio. So everything has its place on our phone, right? Say it again, Jackie. All your banking stuff. What else is on there? All your personal photos are on there. Starbucks app is a necessity in life. What else? We have contacts. We have emails, right? We have scheduling. We have playlists. Messengers. Text messaging. That's it. You're doing all the way around, and y'all finally said text message. Bible, that's right, you version. And watch this. Wouldn't it be something if Abraham had the ability to text God at that very moment? I know you read it. It shows you read it. I know you read it. I know you saw the text. Right? Right? We know how it is. Because you can see that they read it. But what happens when you don't hear anything from God when you ask God of something from him? What do you do? Do you get mad? Yeah, say it for real, because y'all know y'all get mad. Frustrated. Oh, straight up frustrated. Do we get straight up like ghetto, or we get straight up like matto? Because we get mad, right? We get mad. We get real mad. We think I don't even think we're really saved, JJ. I don't think we're really saved because we get real mad with God. And God like, oh my mind. I cannot believe you said that. Like, have you ever thought you were going to shock God? Did you ever think you were ever going to surprise God? Did you ever think God was not going to come through? Be honest.
Yes.
Because we look at it like, look, I've been praying. Look, God, look here. I've been praying. I've been going to church. I've been watching TBN. I'm working on the tithe, but I'm getting there. I'm telling people about the church. When you gonna come through? Is that right? We get that way. And in that process, you're gonna begin to see that the selfishness is still there. Because you want to be pleased. You want it your way. What is it? Is yours? Burger King make it your way? Burger King make it your way. You better get a lot of napkins because you're about to make a mess. Get your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Jonah. Jonah! Jonah! Chapter 1. And when you're there, say, I got it. I got it. I only hear one person said, I got it. Jonah. When you get to Jonah, it's a good thing. It is, really. I wonder, why are we going to go to Jonah? All right. We're going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to switch over and go right in the Bible. We'll go to New Testament. But can we get rid of the selfies and be more inquisitive about the usies? So it's never just about you. It's about others. Amen? All right. Jonah, chapter 1. I'm going to read out of the King James Version. Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In other words, he ran from God. And went down to Joppa. Every time you run from God, you go down. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. And every time you run from God, you pay the fare. And went down into it, and got into the Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried unto the man, unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship and into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. In other words, he went even lower into the ship. Every time God speaks something to you, he requires you to do it. You can run, you can hide, you can even get so low. God's going to make it a point to get you to do what he said for you to do. Because your delayed obedience is disobedience. You have to act upon what he said to do. Now watch this. You know, we read at the very beginning that he says, go to Nineveh, the great city. Their wickedness was great. So are they saints? They're church folks. No. I know what it was. School of Prophets, right? Leadership convention there? They were sinners. Sinners. I want you to read that. He spoke to who? Jonah. What was Jonah? A prophet. To go to a city of wickedness to speak to them this word. Watch. If you continue to read down, you see how they were going, and then he tell them to ask their God who it is, and then Jonah says, it's me. It's me. So they took Jonah and they threw him off the boat. You're reading that story, right? You're reading down. Throw them off the boat. And then you see there in verse 17, and now the Lord appeared a great, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I could go into the proper dissertation and tell you, and I got to pray and thank God for the reading of his word. And then tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then tell you what I've told you. Because that's proper. That's how we're supposed to do it. That's how we're taught to do it. But even when you're taught a certain thing to do, sometimes you don't do it because you choose not to do it. Even though you've been taught how to do it. See, they don't want to hear it. Nobody want to talk to me, Bonnie. They want to talk to me. So I told you about the sacrifice I called you about today. That's why I knew what was happening this week. I knew. Watch this. Sunday. Now look, if God tells you to do a thing, he's going to require you to do it. You may run and hide amongst people, but he's going to require you to do it. As much as you hide and as much as you want to run away from God, he's still going to require you to do it. He's a prophet of God. And y'all going to miss that one. In other words, he's got God like this. He hears from God, talks to God, receives instructions from God. Correct? So now, once God speaks it, you're like, I ain't going to do it. What? You're going to do what I said you're going to do. You may not like how I'm going to get you there. It'd have been easier if you'd have just obeyed me and did it. See, if you'd have done it when he said for you to do it, you wouldn't have had to have been in the belly of the whale. You'd have been down a different road to the place of there. We someone need to help me preach this thing, because some of y'all just, See, look here. God says, go to that place called there. But we don't listen to God and we struggle to get there. See, he tells us what to do, even though we know how to do it because he's taught us how to do it, but we don't do it that way. So we have to go a different way. And when we go a different way, we run into trouble every single time. But there is over there. But we wind up way over here. But we're trying to get there. Trying to get there. Why am I here when I'm trying to get there? Don't think that because you're out of the will of God that God ain't watching you. Like you hiding from God. Like I'm going to just stay in the back of the church. Ain't nobody going to find me because I'm just hiding in. I'll come in late, get into the back of the church. Ain't nobody know when I come in because I'm in the back of the church. And if you don't like how I'm preaching, I'll just leave out the church and preach from outside the church. And when I preach from outside, somebody going to hear this message is going to listen. You understand? I see people out here looking at me like a little crazy. But when you get out someplace, you get out someplace. God says you can walk into that place and you try to hide. Ain't nobody going to see me. Ain't nobody know I'm down here. Every time you run from God, ain't nobody going to see me. Let me just get a little bit lower in the ship so nobody sees me. But then God said, wait a minute, I'm going to cause a great wind, a tempest to come your way. And then what? Then the people that you went running to. Oh, I don't want to do what God told me to do. I want to go down to this place there. And I'm supposed to be over here, but I don't want to go there. And then guess what? The people that you ran to are going to throw you overboard. Try to find refuge in people when God says, I'm your refuge. You're supposed to go there and you don't want to go there. You're mad at me. Even the way I instruct you to do it, you don't want to do it. I got a way for you. I got a way to get you there. You ain't going to like it. You would have loved the first plan I had for you, but you didn't want to listen. You got a little selfish. You got selfish and you wanted to do it your way. You were so concerned about doing it your way. Now let me show you how you really going to get there. Everybody said there was a whale. It never said what kind of fish it was. For all we know, it could have been a nurse shark, ones that don't have no teeth, that never eat flesh. It eat other fish. That's about the only way he's going to come out untouched. But one thing I find out for real is that even though it has no teeth or has teeth, every fish has a digestive system.
They do, sir.
Well, how far did he go down? He went running from God. He went real low. So when God said, oh, you're going to do what I said to do, you're going to go even lower. Yeah. When you want to go against the will of God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to wind up in a stinky place. You're going to wind up in a place that don't feel good. You're going to wind up in a place that you're going to get things all around your neck that you can't even breathe. You begin to cry out in the belly of the well. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Lord, I do your will. I do your will. I do your will. I will preach. I will prophesy. I will do the will of God. Then that belly of the whale began. I will preach. I will pray. I will sow my tithe. I will sacrifice. And then all of a sudden, that's not how your Bible reads it. Woo! Because sometimes we want to go low, but God will take you even lower. But watch this. What goes down must come up. And when you get that low, Lord Jesus, watch how he's about to bring you up out of that thing. The lower you go, the higher you're going to rise up. But you may not like the way he's going to get you there. But when he comes and say you got to go there, don't go the way you want to go there. Go the way he says for you to get there. Just going to paraphrase it, because y'all can read the Bible, right? Y'all know how to read the Bible? You know how to read the Bible? Okay. It'll read it back to you if you get that version it reads to you. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch. He gets vomited out. That's what it says. Vomited out. I wasn't always saved. I don't even know today if I am. Back in the day, when I had a little bit too much, had to purge. Once we purge, there's something inside our belly that comes out called acid. And it burns coming out. Ain't no difference in the big fish. Wait a minute. All that craziness that Jonah was doing in the belly. Uh-huh. All the seaweed wrapped around his neck. Uh-huh. Everything that was in there began to burn him. So then he gets spit out into that very place where he was supposed to get there. Now watch this. Before anybody announced who he was, the people of Nineveh were scared. Yeah. Think about why would it be scared? Why would it be scared? You just see a man on the beach? Just on the beach? Wasn't in the river, the whale going up the river. It's on the beach. Maybe it was Tom Hanks from Castaway. Right? He got vomited out. Why would they be scared seeing a man walking down the beach? Well, let's ask this question. What does acid do? Oh, no. Before it makes you think, it's going to start to burn. It'll burn you up. It'll burn everything off of you. It'll burn that color that you put in your hair. It'll burn that rouge off. It'll burn off everything off. I don't care how many times you had to apply that tint. It's coming off. So when they saw them, wouldn't you think that he'd be a little bit on the white side? Maybe they thought they saw the Holy Ghost. That they were afraid when they saw this man walking on the beach, is all white, been bleached down. Every time you want to run from God and be disobedient to God, and you want to get honoring with God and get mad and get bitter at God, you won't get spit out in a place that you should have been a long time ago, that you could have walked there under the auspice of God, but he had to do it a different way because of your attitude. Attitude. So once you get there, watch this. This is just the beginning. Remember, the preacher finally came to his senses in the belly. ready. I'm going to go prophesy this thing. Shoo. He said, it says, it's a 3 days journey because Nineveh's so great. He said he walked one day. Y'all are dying. Y'all are dying. God's about to judge you in 40 days. Peace. Jonah walked away and he said, I'm going to go outside the city. I'm going to watch the fireworks from here. Get them, God. I did what you said. I'm a prophet of God. I prophesied. Are you going to wait? Okay, I'll wait. I knew you weren't going to do it. Because you're the God of salvation. You're the God of grace. That's why I didn't want to come. Because I knew your character. I knew your way. You were going to forgive them. Oh. Quick to want to see somebody else be tortured. Killed. Then what does God say? Why are you mad? Why are you mad? You're so mad. This is what Jonah says. Then let me just die. That's what he's saying. You know, he said it like that. Let me die. Goes out to the desert so he can die in the desert in that heat. In the heat. Like in here. Heat. You know how we get when the air conditioner don't work in your car? Anybody cut you off, it's on and popping. What? You know, hey, Pastor, how you doing? Bless God. Go ahead. The heat does something to you. Yeah. The heat has a tendency to really just kind of get at you. Yeah. Watch this. Then he even gets even more mad because he's not doing anything. Here's what you forget is that the people repented and went on a fast. The king was cold. He said, not only you, but you're not even going to feed your animals either. Read the story. Call the people to a fast. Don't you feed Poo Poo and Teddy and Bear and Smokey. You don't feed them either. They're not eating anything because we're about to die. So we're going to fast and we're going to repent. God saw that and says, that's my people right there. That's my people. He used an instrument to get them to repent, to turn away from their wicked ways, and he got them back in right standing with God. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. Y'all better be clapping right there. Because that's what he did to you. Because you were wicked. And your wickedness came up before him. And he sent a messenger to go and do something with you. But because of the spirit man inside, you begin to say, something don't feel right. I'm going to get right now. I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to go today. And then God says, you know what? That's my child. I ain't going to destroy him. But the instrument, the prophet, got mad. It's selfish. What about my gift, God? They need to know I'm a prophet. Now, I prophesied something that didn't come to pass. Now, they're going to call me a false prophet. They're going to say I was prophesying, not prophesying. Now, you don't know, God, because I have a name for myself, God. I'm going to always be talked about in churches. Jonah, the one that lived in the belly of the whale and killed the prophet. But you ain't going to do it. Selfishness about Jonah. You ever wonder why we don't have revivals? Selfishness. It's about my ministry. Oh, it's about my gift. What about the gift of grace? The gift of salvation? Jonah quickly forgot about that. Now watch how God teaches him that very lesson. It gets so hot out there. He makes a tree. In the middle of the desert, spring up and give them shade. In the middle of the desert, just like a. Poof. Oh my God, hey, this is nice meat. I've got. This is the Corona commercial. Mira, here they got. Mira, there goes Shamu. Hey, you remember me? I'm going to get a ride back with you, okay? Y'all's Bible's boring. And look. So he's okay once he's under that covering. In the heat of the day, he's okay because he's under that shade, the covering. But then watch what God does. Then he makes a worm. Destroy the very tree. Watch it. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The very tree that God created got destroyed by the worm that God created. Your false sense of security will be eaten up. I got two people that heard that one. Your false sense of security will be eaten up. And it got eaten up from the root up. And once that whole tree was gone. Oh, he starts crying again. Just let me die. Let me die. It's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's so hot. Just kill me now and take me home. And then the Lord speaks to him. Oh, you were happy when you had the shade that you didn't create. And now you're mad at the worm and the tree that you didn't create. How much more? Those 150,000 people, not including their livestock, that labor and toil. But they repented. But yet you, my mouthpiece, my instrument, selfish? Complaining? Bitter? Unforgiving? You were happy prophesying the word. But when it didn't happen, you got mad. So in other words, when the things don't come to pass, you get like Jonah. And we don't see revival. It took God to come in to speak a word that brought about repentance. Not revival, repentance. Watch. Go with me. Take a right in the Bible. Take a right. And I want you to go to the book of John. John 4, verse 1. And when you're there, say, I got it, Pastor. Say, I got three people that got it. All right, all right. Promise to have you out here before 10 o'clock, really. Just make sure y'all were listening. John chapter 4, verse 1. Watch this. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. Say it with me now. But he needed to go through Samaria. Let me give you a background to what Samaria is. Samaria is a place where they understood the law. They understood law. They understood the law of Moses. They understood that we need to worship God in a place. But they also were willing to let in other types of gods that they could worship at the same time. So there was a mixture of theology. Okay. So Jesus said, let me go through Samaria. Many would say some area. Samaria. He went through some area where there were some sinners there. Now Samaria was not of the Jews. Had no place for Jesus to be around any type of these people that we would call unclean. So he's going through this journey and he gets tired. He says, I'm going to sit down right here. At what well was it? Say it again. Say it again. Jacob's well. Let me just remind you, what was Jacob really called? The deceiver. So he comes to the well of deception. Many would think that Jesus had no place to go around any type of deception. But he goes into an area where he knows that there's going to be someone that needs him. That he sends his disciples because he's hungry. The bread of life that he can create. I can create this pepperoni pizza right here. I don't need you to. But they leave. It was a Big Mac. And it had some French fries. It had the barbecue sauce. And then it had the vanilla shake to go with it. That's what he was about to do. And that's what they went to go get. Mm-hmm. That's it. Come on, get him. I got, lost on this one. Watch, watch. He sits at the very well, and here comes this Samaritan woman. This Samaritan woman is carrying this big old pot. Because if you're going to walk a long distance to get some water, you ain't carrying no little flask. Hold up, back up, back up. You ain't carrying no little bucket. They missed it. You going to carry yourself a big old jar so that when you carry it, you're going to carry it back. And it's in the middle of the day. It's hot. Here we go. Heat again. Heat. I'm trying to tell you that the heat will mess with you. It will mess with you. Most road rage is done during the summertime when it's hot. All anger comes out even more when it's hot. So he's sitting down. Then he says this, woman, give me drink. Not in today's language. Not in today's society. And not in today's generation. Give me, woman, give me drink. You get it yourself. I done walked a long way. You see this pot? It's empty now, but it's going to be full when I take it back. Why don't you give me something to drink? You know how you women are at this time, because you have you get a man tell you to do something, like, whatever. But watch this, watch this, watch this. He shouldn't have been speaking to her to begin with. She knew it. She knew the law, she knew the custom that he wasn't supposed to be speaking to her. But what happens? The greatest revival of all time, the first evangelist, shows up in the book of John. A sinner, a woman that had no inheritance or no right to be in the very presence of the rabbi. And the only time that Jesus ever says, I am the Messiah. Now remember, he was speaking to Nicodemus earlier. And Nicodemus didn't understand, but he never told him he was the Messiah. But he tells the one that had no inheritance, no right to it, I'm the Messiah. And watch this. What happens is he begins to speak to her. She knows that there's something going on. Something begins to stir. Then he says, drink of this water. And she starts thinking about, well, what is this? I want some of that water. I know it's got to be that alkaline water because it's good water. Because it ain't thirst no more. It's alkaline water. It's got all those electrolytes and all that. And it's good for you. So I'll drink some of it. Where is that water at? Then he begins to speak to her concern. Go get your husband. Watch this. Watch this. Watch the prophet now. Watch this prophet in this story. This prophet now speaks about the five. And that the one that she's with is not the husband. Now many scholars go into and say, oh, because, you know, she was a, well. Round the way. Okay. But there's, I want you, man, y'all are bad, y'all are bad. Now listen, there's other reasons why he could have left too. Other reasons. And that reason could be, watch, watch, that maybe she was barren. She was barren and couldn't have any kids. That gave the right for a divorce. And maybe the next husband came along, didn't realize that she was barren. He has the right for divorce. So he never said that she had divorced. She never said he never said to her that she was playing around. He spoke a very truth and fact that only he would know. Watch this. Then she knew this is the Messiah. So she leaves. Watch this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. This evangelist is in the process of birthing the greatest revival in Samaria like never before because of a prophet that spoke a word. Jesus came as a prophet in that very moment to speak a timely word to this very woman. And this woman went forth and did what he said to do. Go get your husband. Watch this. She didn't just get the husband. She says, come with me and I will show you a man that told me everything about my life. And all these people came to see what she was talking about. Watch this. Jesus was just going someplace and he stopped off. But because of the response, and because of them engaging with Jesus as he's speaking, he stayed two more days teaching them. and brought about the greatest revival right there in Samaria. Where? Samaria, which is a worldly city that served other gods. You want real revival? It doesn't happen in the church. Quit looking for it from the pulpit. Quit looking for it from your pastor. You start looking at it out there in the streets. Why? Because you got to teach them about something that someone told you about Jesus. And then you bring them in. So don't get mad when you see a hooker come in here and be the best type of greeter in the world. When you got someone coming in here that used to be a bartender in a strip club because they know how to be hospitable, they'll be hospitable. Don't be looking at no deacon and elders that know how to serve you right because there are no more gratitude in them because they know what Jesus has done. Don't be looking at the pimp and the drug addict because they're the greatest evangelists like never before because they can stand in a corner and you will come to them for your goods. They can walk into the city and they can say, let me tell you something that you need. Because you used to come to me when you were shooting up. You used to come to me when you were snorting up. But now I'm going to tell you something. I got something inside of me that I know that you need. Now come unto me. There's something to tell you about what's going out in the streets. The revival only starts out in the world, not in the church. We get it so twisted. It's got to be the right music. It's got to be the right atmosphere. The right lights have to be here. We got to have like 16 screens all the way across. And then we'll have revival. It starts out there. It starts in the streets. It never started in the church. You got people say, I got revival. It's kicking off in my church. No, it ain't. It's called an awakening. He's awakening the saints to wake up. Get out and let people see the goodness of God that's inside of you. Let them see the good news. We think that what we're doing in here is we're making a change. We ain't changing nothing. Not in the church. Oh, they ain't gonna like this one. They ain't gonna, come on, Josh. Go to electric though. Go to electric. We think that when we come to church, we're going to become fat cats. Yes. We're going to get so filled with the word. Get all fat in the gospel. And when we get together with other Christians, we're going to tell them how much we know. Yes. You know, my ministry is about to kick off now, and you need to come with me. Hold on. Jesus didn't walk up to anybody. Don't miss this. Reading scripture. Jesus never went up to anybody. They came to him. They came to him. Why? Because they saw something. What did they see? They saw the day as opposed to the night. He is the bright and morning star. And in your night season, you need some light to come forth. Sometimes we're the ones that need to bring the light to others, but we're so busy being selfish and taking our selfies. And we need to get off of our selfies and get out there with the ussies. And I didn't say hussy, I said ussies. We need to get out there and show the people the love of God. We got to show them the light. And when you got everybody that want to come in and say, oh, I feel something in the church, you should be feeling God, but you also should be feeling conviction. Because if you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to wind up just like Jonah in the belly of a big fish. And guess what got him there? His attitude, not gratitude. His gratitude began to make him feel, God, you're for real. Because you could have had me die, but you maintained me in my desert wilderness experience. That when the disciples came now into that area of Samaria, and they see the woman, they didn't even ask what she was doing. They looking at him like he's crazy. Why? The religious spirit inside of them saying, what you doing talking to that woman? What you doing talking to that woman? Asking God, what are you talking to that sinner? We're so caught up when someone's got issues in their life. So do you.
So do I.
The church is not for all those that are gifted. All those that are called.
all those that are not. The church is called for those that are in need of a Savior. It's something when we see a church full of saints and we don't see the sinners. We don't miss the whole thing. Our purpose is not in here. It's out there. It's out there. You can't change the world in the church, but you can change the world out there. One person at a time. That's why he tells the Samaritan woman, go get your husband. Someone close to you. Someone intimate that knows you. Someone that only knows your business. Not everybody knowing your business. That when God speaks, go get your husband. And speaks that very thing. Something turned on inside of her that brought hope once again. It's one thing when you're going to go do something. Watch this, because she was on the way to go get some water. Run back home. Forget the water. Leave your pots. And get to that place called there. Called there. Because he wants you in a whole different place. You may not like how you're going to get there. But he's going to get you there. It'd be much easier if you just surrender. Keep your attitude in check. Because you don't know who's watching you. Oh yeah. You think you're coming to church and learn the word? A real church exhorts, challenges, step all over your toes. You have to get manicures and pedicures all over again. Because the word of God is here like a double-edged sword. It cuts, it divides, so that you can go out and do what you need to do. Didn't he say go out there and be holy? He just said go get. Did y'all miss that one? He didn't say go disciple them. He said go get. Go get. Then he says now make. Now make. How do you make if you don't go get? You can't disciple more disciples. You've got to go get to make. We've got to get new folks in the church. Maybe the paint didn't come off the walls because I didn't preach the paint on. Maybe I didn't prophesy into the next generation. Maybe I didn't prophesy that you were going to be a millionaire. But I told you one thing that you need to do. It's what he told us to do. Go get. Go get. So that the greatest revival that this city has ever known in this city starts in the streets. Starts in the streets. You get equipped in the church only to be sent out to go get. To go get. That's where we are today. You want revival in this city? I'm here to tell you, the church, wake up. Wake up. Go get. Revival will break. The greatest revival of all time was recorded in the book of John through a woman. A woman. People repented and accepted him as Messiah. And because of that, that whole territory, that whole region was turned around. He didn't say go get sinners. He said just go get. Who did he say go get? The one close to you. Someone's afraid to even invite our neighbors. You pass them right, you don't stick to the plan, you go change things up. I can't invite my neighbors, so they're going to think it's crazy. This is a crazy church. Y'all just as crazy for staying. But I'm just as crazy for Jesus as the junkie that's out on the street. Because they need Jesus. And we've got to go get and bring Jesus to them. How? By the way we influence them. Amen? Stand to your feet if you would please. Thank you. Father, right now, under the sound of my voice, Lord, I speak into the atmosphere of this region, this territory. I thank you that you called me to be an angel in this very season of my life. The angel of good news. The angel that brings forth the word into its season now. That an awakening is coming into this city, Father. But the awakening starts in the church, so we can bring about the revival in the city. Lord, all across America, Father God, and all across the land, I thank you, God, that the pockets of fire have been ignited. And I thank you that the leaders of the church, Father God, begin to grasp the flame. But they don't keep the flame for themselves and be selfish. They take the flame out to others that need the light. So God, I just thank you right now that tonight is a night that you begin to speak into the church once again. That we're not perfect. You didn't use a perfect vessel. You used a willing vessel. You chose Noah, and he was all sideways and crazy. You chose Abraham, and he was a liar. You chose Moses, and he was a murderer. You chose David. Well, God, you chose the man that was after your heart, but he had some faults, Lord. Lord, it's your proof that is in your word that you're looking for someone that is willing and that is after your heart. And God, that's what we're after, is your heart. And if your heart is to be displayed over this city and over the land, Father, I just thank you that we are that people, Father, that just totally seek after you. Lord, I just thank you that tonight is a night of stirring, conviction, and prodding under the Holy Spirit, God. And I thank you for the ability, God, as a people, as a family, that we can enjoy ourselves in church and not leave here religious or condemned, but to leave here charged and ready to do exactly what you've asked us to do, to go get. Not for this church, God, but for the kingdom. Let's reach and touch them, God. For your arm is not too short that you can't reach them at the lowest point, their lowest valley, and their lowest state of mind. Now let your hand touch and bring us into that double portion of rest, spirit and in body, so that we can rest in the completion of your works. I prophesy into this congregation, into this house, unto this ministry, unto those ministries that are under this ministry. This is the beginning. This is your new day. And this is that place that God has called there. And you will see that I have sent the provision up the other side of the mountain. And you will see the greatest revival to ever take place in your life, your family, your ministry. The purpose of God shall be fulfilled in your very life. Father, I just thank you that tonight is a night of blessing, an unlocking, and an opening, God. That what had been held up, what had been covered, is being uncovered and being unplugged. What has been held up is loosed. Father, I just thank you right now that every word that proceeded out of your mouth, God, because of our attitude, God, that may have slowed the process of your word coming to pass, we just repent right now, Father God, and we give you gratitude, but not attitude. So, Father, we just thank you right now as a people of God that extend mercy and grace unto others around us and those that we come in contact with. Father, I thank you right now for the anointing that breaks and destroys every yoke. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look, I know it's hot in here. I have no clue what's going on. I came this morning, 10 o'clock, put this thing on 64. When I got here this afternoon at 3 o'clock, it was at 69. I said, it's going down, it's going down. And right before it started, church started, it was going up. I just know we're getting out of here.
We getting out of here. Would you come stand with me? I want you to look at these precious people. Come stand with me. I want you to look at these precious people. These people of God are not going to be the same. They're leaving here changed, transformed, renewed. And they're leaving here blessed. You'll see countenance and you'll see socioeconomic change in their lives. You'll see chains that were once on be broken off. I want you to take a good look, because some of these faces you're going to see, you're not going to recognize tomorrow.
Amen.
I thank God for the presence of His Spirit, but I thank God for your presence in Him. You got to remember, you abide in the vine, He abides in you. Learn to be intimate with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't make me have to go back to Jonah in that belly of the whale and say, I will preach. All right. All right. As the ministers are getting ready to hand out the envelopes, look, your worship doesn't end just because the service is over. Your worship continues as you're in your car, your home, you're in your job, you're asleep. When you wake up, can you put God first, please? Put Him first. Even if you wake up and say, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Just thank you.
Yes.
My eyes are open. Thank you. Watch what the rest of the day will be. I'm just going to stay here real quick. Ezra, why don't you sit down real quick? Just sit down real quick. Just real quick. I need you to stand up here with me. It's my baby. It's my baby. My baby. It's my baby. Give me a little strum. Go ahead. Just a little strum. A little bit. I felt as I was saying this. Y'all know what first fruits are? The first of your increase. Before you start, oh, there he goes about money. Now I'm going to talk about His presence. When you get up in the morning, you're giving Him the first fruits of your lips for the day. And when you do that, watch how your day progresses in Him. Even when challenges come, you've given the first fruits. Okay? And then when you go to bed that very night, you give Him praise for the day. If we can begin to do that little one thing, watch the great turnaround in your life. Can you do that? Can you do that? Now, with first fruits, with giving adoration to God, watch as He begins to challenge you in other areas. He may say, just give me one verse. That's how you begin to grow in God in that particular way. He'll do things the way you give to Him to do it. If you give unto Him the morning, He'll give you the day. If you give Him the night, He'll give you the morning. You understand? First fruits, always give to God first. Amen. Thanks and adoration to God for what He's already done. Amen. We should be in an attitude of gratitude. Understand? Walk that way. Walk that way. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. Good to see you. I bless you. And in your giving, as you release tonight, please don't forget that the sign-up sheet that's in the back for our outreach for September 13th, the Epidemic Tour, that's back there. And sign up. We need workers. We need workers, okay? This Sunday, Sheree's going to recap where we're at. We have our meeting scheduled for tomorrow. And then on Sunday, she'll recap where we're at with this, so this way we can get more people involved. Amen? Amen? Partnering with other ministries throughout the city to do outreach, I guarantee you're going to see a great touch and a move of God. Amen? Because it's not about one ministry. It's about His ministry for the city. Amen? Amen? All right. Y'all handed out the envelopes ready? All right. Let God challenge you in your giving. Let God challenge you. Why does He challenge you in the giving? Because He wants to release to you what He has for you. But if you don't let go what He's given you, consider that your harvest. And if you want more, consider that your seed. Then you'll get your harvest. Then you'll get your harvest. You want to know where your heart is? You want to know where your heart is? Where your treasure is. If you hold on to your money so tight that it squeaks, cries out, He's going to require it of you. It may be best that you get real comfortable learning how to sow so that you learn how to reap. Amen.
Amen.
So in your offering, just know that God is, he's challenging you. He is. Because he told you to challenge him in the word. Will you do it? Amen. All right. Wave offering before the Lord. Wave offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now as a wave offering unto you, God, that you receive our giving as worship, Lord. And as we sow, Father God, you receive it well. Because we give with a cheerful heart, not because we're pressed, not because we're told, because you said we can. And God, I just thank you right now for those that are sowing in joy and peace without being primed or pumped. They just do because they trust you. God, I thank you for their harvest, Lord. And I thank you for the seeding seed that begins a greater harvest for them, God. And whatever money cannot buy, God, you can do. Somebody's going to get healed tonight. Someone's getting healed tonight. I feel pressure on the left side of my head. The left side of my head, there's pressure there. And you feel like it's sinus. You've been taking sinus pills. You've been taking like sprays in your nose and it's not going away. Someone's about to be healed of that in Jesus' mighty name. God, I just thank you right now. I thank you for your word. I thank you, more importantly, God, for your presence. For your presence, God. I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. You may serve the Lord. You may serve the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday. Be blessed. Be blessed.